Hello and welcome to this edition of Dance Monkey Dance. This is Chris.
This is John.
We are together in the same room.
Yes, like imagine that.
I know.
Imagine that.
Because it's a happy holiday, right?
That's right. Lots to be thankful for.
It's an American holiday. Nobody else. I saw a thing that said people in Britain don't celebrate Thanksgiving because if they had to celebrate ruining a native country, they'd never go to work because of the British Empire. So, yeah. So I'm here for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Not with you, but...
That's right. In town. With the in-laws.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an exciting day at Disney yesterday. We went to the busiest park on the planet. At least it seemed that way. Everything was a 2-hour wait.
Oof.
We went to Studios because they have the new Star Wars land. And everybody wanted to see it because nobody but me and the family had gone.
Right.
So we walked in to the park and walked over to there thinking park had just opened, we'll see what the lines are like. It was already a 125-minute wait for Millennium Falcon.
Oof.
Smuggler's Run. So we decided that we were going to see if the wait times went down during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it never got below 120 minutes.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to stand in line because there were no fast passes.
Right.
We walked up to the fast pass machine, and the only thing that was on there was, like, to meet Olaf or something.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, so nobody wanted to do that. So I know that the listeners won't understand this, but you will. So... we got in line for Smuggler's Run right past the Thai echelon.
Oh, my God.
Which is where the line started.
Wow.
Walked past the cantina, turned towards... got in front of the Millennium Falcon and turned right, went down to that, like, fake gate,
mm-hmm.
turned around... came back past the Millennium Falcon, turned back around, went past the front of the Millennium Falcon and into the ride.
Wow.
Was the first hour. And then the second hour was what we did.
Right, getting through the queue.
With
and
a bunch of extra little twists and turns in the queues that apparently they can open.
Yeah.
And, like, somehow that helps the line. But, so, yeah, that was a 2-hour ordeal. And there were 5 of us, so the kids were guaranteed to be pilots, because that's what we wanted them to do. And we found out a very helpful tip, that if you're going to come to Smuggler's Run as a single rider,
mm-hmm.
you are always an engineer.
Yes.
They shove you in the back with the group of people, and that's what you do. Because the dude that was with us was like, been on this ride 4 times as a single rider, I'm always an engineer. So it was like, okay, you want to come with at least another person if you want any chance of being a pilot.
Hmm.
And another quick tip is don't put 2 kids in charge of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, God.
Because they do not know how to pilot the ship. My daughter was up and down. My nephew was left and right. And then we immediately went nosedived into a rock. And then we went to the left into another rock. And, like, it was so bad that the video or whatever you want to call it that plays
mm-hmm.
skipped.
Oh, wow.
Like, we hit a rock and it kind of, like, backed up a second
uh-huh.
and then continued. And I was laughing because I was like, I don't think that's supposed to be doing that. And then the kid pulls us into hyperspace. We come out and they never got behind the train. And what I found out was the show does correct itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you were out of position for too long. Because all of a sudden, we were way off to the side, and I was trying to tell the kid, steer right, and he never did, and all of a sudden, the Millennium Falcon went behind the train
mm-hmm.
to get to the next part of, like, the harpoons and stuff. So, yeah, they were terrible.
Wow.
Like, I'd never seen people hit that many things.
And you just did it the one time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we weren't going to go back through that line. It never got below 90 minutes. Yesterday.
Mm.
And then my kid looked at me and said, I really want to do Rock and Roller Coaster. And she's been, like, trying to get out of her comfort zone of, like, she wants to go upside down. She wants to go in the dark. And I looked at the thing, and it was 150 minutes. And I said, do you understand if we do this, this is probably all, like...
the last thing you're going to do.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how long this is going to take, but I will go with you if you want to do it. And she said, yeah, I do. We walked over to the line, and we walked in, and we went down one queue line and turned and stopped. And we stood in that spot for about 40 minutes.
Ooh.
And I was like, what is going on? Like, everybody was, like, sitting down, and nothing was moving. And then all of a sudden, there was an announcement that said that the recording studio has been overbooked, and they don't know when new slots will open, which means the ride is broken.
Right.
Right? So I'm like, I said to Elise, I said, I don't know if we're going to get on this ride. If you want to wait to see what happens, I will wait with you. And she said, yeah, I want to see what happens.
Okay.
So as soon as they make that announcement, half the people get out of line.
Great.
So we move up. And I said, well, okay, well, we're about halfway there now. Like, I don't know if we're going to get on this ride, but okay, well, I'll take this chance.
Sure.
And about 5 minutes later, we moved about five steps up. And then 10 minutes after that, the line just started to move.
Hmm.
And we never stopped until we were inside the building.
Okay.
And I was like, well, this is weird. I wonder what happened. And from the time we got into the building to the time we actually got on the ride was about 20 minutes.
Oh, so that's not bad.
So instead of 150 minutes, we spent about an hour-ish in line. Okay. And we walked in. To anybody who hasn't been on this ride, it's Aerosmith, like, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous how young they are. And they invite you to go to a concert, and they put you in a stretch limo, which is the roller coaster. And once you see the ride video, you go out into this, to the loading area. And if you're stopped, you can watch the cars launch.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood there and she watched one of the cars launch, and she just gave me this wide-eyed, like, that's what it is? And I said, I told you, like, exactly what this was going to be.
Right.
So I don't think she was quite picturing it, because she's never been on a roller coaster that just takes off from a standstill before.
Okay.
So she goes, I don't want to be in the front. I said, okay, that's fine. We'll tell them you don't want the front. And the girl said, how many two? And she pointed towards the back row. So I was like, that's perfect. Get on. We go around the thing, and I hear her say, can you hold my hand? And I was like, okay. I said, just put your head back, keep it straight. I'm like, you'll be fine. We take off that down the tunnel, and I hear, wah! every time we went upside down, she's screaming. We get to the end. I was like, are you okay? She's like, I love that. Can we go back on?
Oh.
It's like, nope. Like, that was your one and only time.
Wow.
So she did get to go on Slinky, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I made her mother take her on that because I was done.
Okay.
I stood in two really long lines, and it's like, I'll just sit here. You guys can go do that.
Yeah, gone are the days when you buy your one-day ticket and you can see almost everything in one day.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Fast Pass thing is such a myth. Like, unless you're staying on property...
That's who it's made for.
You're not getting Fast Passes for anything.
Yep.
You can do the single rider line, and the dude that went with us on Millennium Falcon said that he only had to wait about 30 minutes. But...
for the worst position in the ship.
At the cost of having a good time.
Right.
Of just experiencing it. And sitting with a bunch of people screaming like idiots.
Of course.
Because the kids are screaming. My sister-in-law is screaming. I'm telling them, like, pull up, pull up. No, bang. Okay, never mind. I just gave up at one point. I was just like, okay, whatever we hit, we hit.
Wow.
So, yeah, we didn't leave there until almost 8.
Oh, gosh.
And we were talking about on the way home, we did 4 things, like in an entire day. And that included, like, a show where you just sat there.
So if you had paid your $130 for a ticket, each one of those things was $30, $40 a piece.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, we didn't buy anything in Star Wars Land because it's all super expensive. I bought water because the kid wanted water.
Mm.
But that was a $5 water bottle that I'm keeping because... I wasn't going to buy the $6 little grenade ball thing.
No?
With the three sips of soda in it. That wasn't happening. So I bought water because I figured I could refill it. Because one thing that Disney did put in was the
bottle fillings. Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. There's not a lot of them yet.
No. And the only ones I found were in the Star Wars section. But, yeah, I mean, it was super crowded. Like, when I used to go to the parks regularly when I lived down here, I'd never seen it like this. Yeah. They just pack them in.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, the days when they used to close the gates because there were too many people in there are gone.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't do that anymore.
They just squeeze as many people in as they can? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was a sea of people. And we were there with the in-laws who had gotten wheelchairs because they didn't... The way it was explained to me was they didn't want to get tired from walking around all day. And they, like, sitting on the hard benches hurt their backs. So they were like... They rented these wheelchairs and I didn't push them, but other people did. And we put them in one place, and they just kind of sat there and people watched. Well,
wow.
We did other stuff. They got us in the park, so I'm not going to complain. But yeah, they were like, yeah, we've never seen this many people like in this park, and it was a Sunday. I know it's before Thanksgiving, but like a Sunday, you'd think might not be that crowded, but
Saturday and Sunday are a lot of locals,
right?
And it being a holiday week,
yeah,
the entire week is just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 2 years, we went to Universal and Magic Kingdom on Black Friday, on two separate years. And I thought those days were crowded.
Mm-hmm.
That was nothing compared to yesterday.
Wow.
Like we did, when we came to Magic Kingdom, we did probably 10 rides or 10 things.
Yeah.
Like, we did 4 yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, it was pretty fucked up and crazy, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Kid wants to go, you gotta go.
Yeah, we're there for the kids. Saw the Indiana Jones show for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's showing its age.
Oh yeah.
It's showing its age big time.
It's 30 years old.
Yeah. And it dawned on me that a lot of people that are probably working there
mm-hmm.
were born while the show was running.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes.
Yeah, so it's very weird to have that realization of, like, that Indiana Jones can't be 30 years old.
Right.
He's younger than that, which means this show was running when he was born. And that's weird. Mm-hmm. That's a weird feeling. But, like, they redo the scene with the plane from Raiders of the Lost Ark and the mechanic.
Yep.
And I guess the smoke machine... That's around the
smoker, yeah.
Around the pit that he falls into.
Mm-hmm.
It needs some work.
Was it thin?
Because it was really, really thin, and you saw him like fall in instead
what,
of like.
What was the weather like?
It was cool and sunny.
That's why it was thin.
Oh, really?
If it's humid, it's thicker.
Ah, okay. All right, that makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, it was just funny because you just saw him like. Fall in. It's like, oh. And they, like, I hadn't seen the show probably in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And I had forgot about, like, the plant that they bring mm-hmm. out of the audience and stuff. So I kind of remembered while they were doing the fight scene. And then when they, like knocked the guy out, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, I remember this now. But, I mean, I guess the theater was full.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was really surprised because I was like, this is a 30-year-old show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a full thing. So I was very surprised. But I guess if everything is a 2-hour wait.
Yeah.
You go and you seek out things that aren't 2 hours.
Right.
So. And then the kids went on Muppet Vision with my sister-in-law. And that was only a 15-minute wait.
Yeah.
I think that was the shortest thing they did. I just had no desire. That's an old show, too.
That's an incredibly old show.
Yeah. But hopefully that's my last theme park for the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you have so many days left.
Well, there's some restrictions on where and when we can go to things.
Yes, there are.
So that's going to limit us big time. So maybe we won't have to do anything else.
Oh, just sit around with the in-laws and...
I brought my laptop. Okay. I got things I can do. So that was my day. My yesterday.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. And I did a 6.5-hour trip down here on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fine until you hit Orlando.
Yes.
And then the 25-year I-4 road project kicks in, and it's a standstill for whatever reason. And we saw a couple of accidents. And then you can almost... Like, I've been down here enough now recently where I know where the slowdowns are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, between... Before you get to downtown on I-4...
Yep.
Past... You get past I-4, or you get past downtown, and it opens up until you get in front of Universal, and then it slows down. And then it opens up a little bit until before you get in front of Disney, and then it slows down. And then after Disney, it opens up. So I was kind of like mentally prepared for that kind of ebb and flow thing. So
yeah, the roads down here are just getting worse. And it's never going to end.
No, and like driving around, there's so many new construction areas for houses and apartments, and it's like every single one of those brings at least two cars.
Yep.
And a family and people on the road. And,
But we are going to get a bullet train to Miami. So, you know, that's good. From the airport to Miami.
Oh, so you have to drive all the way out to the airport?
So you still got to pay $30 for parking.
Oh, jeez. Well, that sounds terrible.
Yes.
And who wants to go to Miami? Or is it...
There are enough people here.
Or is it the thing that Disney has a ship that's based in Miami?
No.
No?
No.
That wasn't part of it?
No, because if that was part of it, you'd have it from the airport straight to Disney.
Oh, okay. I figured maybe that was a thing of, like, you know, flying to Orlando to get onto the ship in Miami, and you just take the bullet train down.
Mm.
You know, they wrap it with Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or...
Yeah, I haven't heard any plans for that.
So is that an actual thing? Is that actually going to happen, or is that just like a wish?
No, I think it's really happening.
Huh? They ever build the Sunrail?
Oh, yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was a big thing when I lived here.
It's lame. I mean, it doesn't really get you anywhere good.
Oh, then why build it?
Exactly. Well, because some politician got a payoff. And
the show knows how we feel about politicians.
It's a wonderful world we live in.
Yeah. So did you watch the third episode of Mandalorian?
Of course I did.
I would have to say that this is my favorite so far. Granted, there's only three, and I've liked them all.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Mandalorian raids the Stormtrooper outpost or whatever that thing is, to the end is an incredible piece of television.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, like him sneaking around, and you kind of get to see what an actual Mandalorian warrior is like.
Right.
And you suddenly realize that this dude has a conscience, and he's got this bond with this Yoda baby thing, and like he doesn't want to see it hurt, but it goes against the code. And like the only thing I didn't like about the episode was the Carl Weathers turn. Like it felt
where he turned against him?
Yeah, it felt too forced too soon. Like, but the thing with all the key fobs going off in the cantina, and you start to realize that, oh, okay, now they're going to be after him.
Right.
And they do that slow, like, tension-building walk of where he's walking through, and you see them all with their guns, and they're, like, sneaking up behind him and stuff. Like, was just so good. And seeing, like, actual Mandalorians on jetpacks, live action, was just so cool, because you've only ever really seen that in a cartoon.
Right.
Like, you saw Boba Fett fly, like, once.
Yeah.
You see Jango do it, like, once or twice, but, like, never, like...
To that extent.
Like, a tactical assault on, like, whatever. And he's got his shiny new armor, so, like...
That's right.
He's all ready to go.
With no signet.
No. Which is... that I thought that was interesting, too. So, in the first episode, they asked if his signet had been revealed.
Right.
And he said no. And then this time, she was like, okay, your signet's going to be the Mudhorn. And then he was like, no, because I didn't beat it.
Right.
Like, I had help. So... their signets are based on enemies that they've conquered?
Sure. So
if he had taken out the entire thing of Jawas, would his signet have been a Jawa?
I think there's probably a level of difficulty in killing the thing.
Okay. So because she heard Mudhorn, she was like, oh, that's a...
that's your symbol. Yeah. Okay. You battled the Mudhorn.
Okay.
So that means that Boba Fett battled the Mythosaur?
Well, so Boba Fett's not really a Mandalorian, and neither is Jango.
Right.
Like, I always thought Jango stole the armor. I thought that's what the...
is that what it was? I don't remember. It's one of those awful prequels.
Well, no, it's not told in the prequels. I thought it was told somewhere else. But, like, I thought George Lucas had said that, like, no, they're not real Mandalorians.
Mm.
Like, Boba Fett for sure, because he's a clone of Jango, right. So... like, even if Jango was a real Mandalorian, Boba Fett wouldn't be. But yeah, I'm interested to see, like, where the signet lies.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, because they also have... Boba Fett also has that leaf thing.
That's right.
So I don't know if maybe he was attacked by a tree.
He battled a tree? Yes.
Oh, perfect, like, Marvel, Disney...
Oh, Groot?
Star Wars. Yeah, he battles Groot. There you go.
It's all the same universe.
The portals that the Guardians fly through are actually, like, not just space, but time as well.
Could
be. They can go back to a galaxy far, far away. He battles...
if it makes money, they will. We'll be having crossovers of all of the different brands.
Well, I'm sure that's coming somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this episode was great. It was... I really liked it. I liked the detail that's in every shot.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of rubber heads in the cantina, and it doesn't look like it's done on the cheap.
Right.
And that whole scene with the Mandalorians jumping in on the jetpacks was just amazing.
Yeah. Yep, and you get a Jon Favreau cameo as the large trooper guy.
Yep.
Like, that's not him in the suit. Apparently that is... the same stunt guy as the first guy that the Mandalorian attacks in the bar in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
The guy that's like trying to provoke him.
Yeah.
That's him dressed as a Mandalorian.
Okay.
But Jon Favreau's voice.
Okay.
And as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, okay. Favreau voiced the guy on Clone Wars. And this dude, the Mandalorian that he's voicing here has the same last name.
Okay.
So they're thinking that it's, like, the next generation of that family.
Okay.
But same voice.
Okay.
So, yeah, the standoff with all the bounty hunters, like, I know it's $100 million production, and they're short episodes, so they're not having to waste money anywhere that it's not
mm-hmm.
needed. So I feel like that allows them to do these big, grand... like, I rewatched the second one with the Sandcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the visual effects that they're doing for the Sandcrawler are, like, seamless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the entire show's been. There's only been one or two things that I've looked at and said, okay, that looks like a bad visual effect.
Mm.
That looks like a TV budget.
Sure.
And the only, like, in the first episode when they were riding the... Bergs or whatever they're called, the two-legged creature things. There's one shot of them from the back where they're heading towards the compound where the baby Yoda is.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a TV budget, but everything else, the ships, the space scenes, the Mandalorians flying, like all of it, it's just super well done.
Mm-hmm.
The one dude, like, saluting him at the end was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? It's Star Wars, I guess.
Exactly. Don't overthink it. It's just meant to be fun.
Right. And I know people are still upset about the half hour thing, but
would you rather a really good, well paced half hour,
right,
or an hour and a half episode that just drags?
Right, and that's the thing. Like, they're not. There's nothing in the episodes that doesn't further the story.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is leading to the next thing. There's no stop for exposition. There's none of that storytelling shit that a lot of other TV shows would do for you. You know, in that second episode when he's fighting the Bosque ones. What are those called?
Were they Bosques or were they Jabba's guys?
No,
I thought they were Weequay.
No, not at the compound.
Oh.
In the second episode where they get jumped in the canyon.
Oh, yeah.
So, whatever those boss-looking guys are.
Sleestack.
In any other TV show, they would have said, they would have had the Mandalorian say, "Who are you? Why are you attacking us?" And the one guy would have said, "We're after this bounty, too.
Right.
The kid is ours." Instead, what you get is you get a shot of the Mandalorian disintegrating one of them, and then seeing the fob. And there's no exposition of the Mandalorian saying, shit, they're after the kid too.
Right.
They are allowing the audience to be smart enough to be like, with the one shot of the Mandalorian that lingers, you can tell even under the mask that he's thinking, fuck, they're after us now. And I appreciate that because it's smart storytelling and they're not trying to handhold anybody.
Right.
And when you have a character that doesn't talk, you would think that they try to load it with exposition, but they don't. And I like that a lot. I like that the audience doesn't know the secret before the Mandalorian, that you're discovering it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the rumors are true this week that they're thinking about giving a large chunk of Star Wars to Favreau,
I think that's the best thing that they can do.
I like Kathleen Kennedy. I'm glad that she got Rogue One and Solo out. But I don't think she's up for the task of Star Wars. And I know that Bob Iger has said in the past that Star Wars would never be like Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
That they think of Star Wars more as an event film.
Sure.
Instead of a story.
Right.
But I think that the Mandalorian TV show proves that people aren't tired of Star Wars, like they kept saying.
Yeah.
Because they kept saying, like, oh, we put out too much too fast.
Right.
Well, obviously you didn't if people are clamoring to see more of The Mandalorian.
Right.
Like, that's not your issue. Then your issue is crappy storytelling.
Right.
Your issue is Rian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I know I pick on that dude a lot, but he's fucked up Star Wars.
That's all right. He doesn't like you either. We talked.
Well, that's fine. I'm totally okay with that. If I have one enemy in this world, it can be Rian Johnson.
Yes. And of course, it's been announced that we will be getting Baby Yoda toys in time for Christmas.
Of course.
So those will be this year's fad, with people buying them up and selling them on Craigslist for $500. And
yeah, look, I give Disney a whole lot of credit for withholding them.
Mm-hmm.
That they were smart enough to be like, this is going to be a total surprise.
Yep.
Everybody's going to love this. Let's not spoil it with a bunch of toys. And yeah, like Disney 10 years ago would have totally spoiled that.
Oh, of course.
And I don't know if that was Favreau or if that was Lucasfilm saying, just hold these back.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have them in time for Christmas, but just don't put them out in the initial run.
Right.
But yeah, I give them a lot of credit for that restraint. Because apparently, all the Frozen 2 toys are spoil the entire movie.
Yes.
Like, to the point where I didn't, like, the kid went to go see it today, and we were looking at the toys last night at MGM, or it's not MGM anymore, Studios, and she was like, I wonder why Anna's wearing the crown. Like, why is she dressed like that?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, do you think that she's the queen? Do you think that something happens to Elsa? I was like, I don't know. You're going to have to wait and see the movie.
Right.
And apparently, that's all true. And, like, all that shit has been out for months now.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe they finally did right by Star Wars.
We can only hope. We can only hope that it gets better from here, that the Obi-Wan series is good.
I think the Cassian one's going to be good simply because of the relationship between Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seem to really like each other. So, yeah. Like, that can only be good. And it feels like if they give Favreau the TV universe,
mm-hmm.
like, they can't lose.
Right.
They really can't. So I'm hoping that that's the way they go. And I guess Favreau didn't direct any of these episodes. He's only the producer.
Hmm.
So, I guess it is what it is.
Whatever he's doing, it's good.
Yeah. I was surprised there wasn't more Mandalorian stuff at the parks.
Yeah, no, there's not.
There's only a couple of t-shirts and stuff, and yep. They're all like kid sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's coming.
Well, too late for
there,
me.
There are little children in Bangladesh working hard.
For a shirt that'll fall apart in three washes?
Yes.
Good times.
For 3 cents an hour.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad when they're all done.
It is. It is.
And I can't decide whether or not I would have been okay in the binge model or not.
No?
I don't know if I would have torn through all of them right away.
It only would have been about 3 hours.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like at 37 minutes or whatever they're averaging out to,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have just burned through them all. And
right.
I probably would have hated myself afterwards. Because then it's over.
Right. You don't get that anticipation.
Uh-huh.
It's must-watch TV.
For the most part. I will say, what really pisses me off, though, is that all these, like, YouTube reviewers...
Mm-hmm.
We'll watch it as soon as it comes out.
Sure.
So, and I don't know what time they drop. It's not midnight, because on Friday, I was up at midnight, and I looked it up because I wanted to see how long the episode was.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, it had just been a fluke, or if they were just going to do, like, 37-minute episodes.
Right.
And it wasn't there. So, it's between sometime between midnight and 6. But in that time, before 6 a.m., they've made their videos.
Right.
They've put out all the spoilers. And, like, nobody else is able to watch it until, like, Friday night. So, mm-hmm. you have to avoid the internet on Friday
right.
if you don't want to be spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck, man. Come on. And now Disney's already putting out scenes from episode 9.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm not watching any of this shit.
You're not?
No.
Did they go back to Tatooine and drive a pod racer?
And my brother-in-law last night was like, oh, my God. They just announced who has a cameo in episode 9. I was like, shut your fucking mouth. Do not say anything. He was like, why? I said, I don't want to know.
It's in sync.
Yeah. I want the cameo to be a surprise. Okay, I won't tell you. But you're going to love it. Shut the fuck up. So, yeah, I'm trying to avoid spoilers.
Mm.
I only have another month. So
that's right.
Knock on wood. I can last.
I have faith in you. I'm sure you will.
Gee, thanks.
Just stay out of the toy aisle.
I mean, they don't really spoil anything in the toys.
No, they don't.
From what I can tell. So.
Although I am wondering if who the identity of the armorer is. Because there's two action figures that came out from Mandalorian. There's the Mandalorian, and there's another character, Cara Dune.
Right.
And you saw this, then there's a still where they're like sitting on the front porch, and it's the Mandalorian and Carl Weathers and this woman.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird.
So.
Maybe they're visiting Thanos on the farm.
Cara Dune is played by. What's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? Carla? No.
Your favorite actress? Carla DeVigio?
What the fuck is her name? She was Angel Dust in Deadpool. In the first Deadpool movie. She's an MMA fighter.
Yeah, I thought she looked a little...
She's very thick.
Thick, yes. That's putting it nicely.
But she is supposedly a ex-Rebel shock trooper.
Okay.
So I don't think that she is the armorer.
Yeah, there's lots of pictures of her online.
Yeah,
without any sort of Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, and she's got like a tattoo under her one eye of like the rebel symbol.
She does?
Yeah. On her.
Sure, that's not a zit.
Yeah.
Are you sure that's what that is?
Yes.
I don't know.
Because she doesn't have it in real life.
Yeah, okay. I guess it is.
Does it say the actress's name, though?
Gina Carano.
Gina Carano, that's right. So she was an MMA fighter. She was the one that, like, got Ronda Rousey into the MMA.
Okay.
And shit like that. She was, like, one of the first women MMA fighters.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess she's going to end up helping the Mandalorian protect Baby Yoda.
Okay. Well, that's nice of her.
Yeah. And I don't know how Carl Weathers fits into them hanging out on the porch, because...
He's not. I remembered the picture wrong.
Who are they hanging out on the porch with?
It's Cara Dune, Mandalorian, and Omira?
Oh, is that Ming...
No, that's Julia Jones.
Oh, Julia Jones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're 3 episodes in the 8 episodes, and, like, half of the people that they've cast we have not met yet.
Right.
We haven't met any of those people. We haven't met the guy from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, like, who has the Death Troopers. So there's a whole bunch of people that, like, these last...
In 5 more episodes.
I'm wondering if these actually, like, from here on out, the episodes get longer. Whether that's how they tell that story. Maybe not. Maybe they can just pack it into 37 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. We're in a wait, like everyone else.
No.
No, you're not going to wait? You're going to make it up yourself?
Yes. So, yeah. Because there's a bunch of other... you know the comedian Bill Burr?
Mm-hmm.
He's in it.
Okay.
He's a bounty hunter. The chick that played Tonks in the Harry Potter films plays a Twilight.
Who was also in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's as OSHA.
Okay. Maybe OSHA's related to Omira.
she's a Twilight that is hanging out with Bill Burr or something. Like,
okay.
Like, we haven't met her either. So, like, half of these people that I know, like,
we haven't really seen yet.
Like, 2.
Right.
So, they did the Nick Nolte character, and then they did Carl Weathers, so. It's interesting.
And Werner Herzog.
Yeah, Werner Herzog. Which I guess is done with the show? Like, maybe?
Was he killed? He wasn't killed.
No, he wasn't killed, but, like, he's leaving the planet, probably never to return.
Yeah.
Unless...
Unless he's still following him.
Maybe. Unless for budgetary reasons they keep having to use that set.
Well, that's possible, too.
Like, they only made the one, and they just keep shooting it from
different
angles.
We just keep shooting it... Yeah. That's how they do it.
And every planet they go to is a desert planet.
Yep.
They're not really bottle episodes, but close enough.
Yeah. It's not Tatooine, it's Jakku.
Yeah. Or what's the new one in episode 9 that everybody thought was Tatooine?
Yeah.
But it's not, it's some other
desert planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Desert planet's very big in the Star Wars universe.
They are.
Although the one biome thing is huge. It's either a desert planet or it's a forest planet or like an ocean planet. You never get, like, multiple areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which I don't know why. I guess Naboo was kind of like that. Naboo had more than one. Naboo had, like, a swamp.
Yeah, then, it did.
Like, the grassy area and...
But Naboo was very fertile.
Well, yeah. Had more than one sentient race on it.
Right.
Maybe Jar Jar is coming back to episode 9. Maybe that's what I'll...
That would be great. That would blow people's minds that now he's like a general or something.
I mean, okay, so they kept saying that JJ went to George Lucas to help him with the overall story of, like, how do we tie this all together? How do we make this a standalone thing?
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something new, but I want it to be faithful to what your thing is. So maybe George Lucas went back to that thing where he was like, the key to this is Jar Jar. Like, maybe you come to find out that he's the guy that saved Palpatine, that, like, he is actually a Darth, like, he's a Sith.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be fucking amazing. Like, there's that shot of Rey with the hooded figure,
mm-hmm,
on, like, the walking throne thing.
Yep.
What if that's Jar Jar?
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
What if it's only half of Jar Jar?
The bottom half?
Yes.
His head's actually a Gungan penis. Misa squirt.
Half Dianoga, half... Yeah.
So have you watched anything else recently?
Hasn't been much on.
No?
Did we have a new Arrow last week?
Yeah, the one where they went to Russia?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that one.
Felt like a filler.
It was. It very much was. It was a contractually obligated episode.
Well, it was them hitting on every season of, like, we gotta go to Hong Kong, then we gotta go to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta show Oliver's kids that he was really cool because he was part of whatever.
Right.
Part of the Brafta or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could have done without that. And, like, the recruiting of Roy was, I thought, a little bit lame.
And then the big MMA battle. The cage match.
Yeah.
So we're going back to Mad Max.
Well, yeah. They had to get one more fight for Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
Looked like a badass.
And now he's back on carbs.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
I can't wait to see the next picture of him where he's gained like 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a role where he's not required to be muscular.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon ladder.
Yes.
I ain't getting near the salmon ladder. Unless it's to eat.
Yeah. And apparently we have to watch Black Lightning because it's part of Crisis on Infinite Earth.
My understanding is the shows that they're pulling in like that, you're not going to have to
watch the show?
No.
Okay.
Because the monitor has been on a whole bunch of those things,
mm-hmm,
and it hasn't made any difference.
Okay.
Like, it's just so that when they show up in the universe, it makes sense.
Okay.
But to us, we know the Black Lightning is a hero somewhere.
Sure.
So when he gets pulled in, we're just like, okay,
he's another hero
from the other show.
Okay.
So, yeah, you don't have to watch that. I don't think you have to watch Supergirl. I think you have to watch Batgirl or Batwoman. Do we have any Batwoman this week?
No.
No?
No.
I thought we did.
DVR didn't catch it.
Oh. I thought... it was the one where Alice has Mouse impersonator dad? Or wait, are you talking about last night?
Yeah, last night there wasn't one.
There wasn't one last night.
No.
Like, the week before.
Yeah. It's all kind of a blur at this point.
Yeah, they're not very memorable.
It was the one where Kate and Alice met up in the diner. Is that the one? And then they drugged Kate?
No,
That was the week before?
It was where... Okay, stay with me here. It was the episode where the black chick that she was involved with at the military academy...
Right.
...thinks that she knows that Kate is Batwoman.
Yes.
So she meets Batwoman in a room somewhere, and then Kate comes walking in behind her.
Yes.
And the chick in the Batman outfit is actually Alfred's daughter, granddaughter, niece? She's a Pennyworth.
Yeah, she's a Pennyworth.
Yeah. That was the one. And, like, they were trying to do something with Kate's dad, but Kate's dad comes walking in at the end, and it's actually the mouse guy with
right.
the fucked up face. Yeah, that was the episode. Again, wasn't very memorable.
Okay. Yeah, most of them are turning out that way.
Do you think you'll stick with it?
There's nothing else on Sunday nights. That's why I still watch Supergirl.
Oh. You could read. You could watch other movies.
People do that?
How many movies you have on
I know.
The shelf
don't even. 85%.
So you could technically like work through that.
I could. But then I got to get up. I got to put the disc in the machine. I got to switch the TV to the DVD player.
Okay, well, how about this? How about you have several hundred movie choices on Disney Plus now?
Mm-hmm.
You could start going through the Disney Plus catalog.
I could.
You don't have to watch stuff you don't like.
Really?
It doesn't interest you anymore.
Really? Oh, okay. But what if there's absolutely nothing else on? What if I don't want to watch both versions of the Shaggy Dog?
So you're telling me that out of all those episodes on Disney Plus, you can't find something to watch on any given night?
I can, but it's the commitment. It takes effort. I just want to be able to flip the channel and catch something and go, oh, I'll watch that.
Jesus. Okay.
I know. I'm weird.
Why do you have to be so difficult?
Because it's fun and it pisses people off.
Okay, fine. Do that.
That's exciting. Did you see we're getting a new Jason Segel sci-fi story?
The dude from How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
No? What kind of sci-fi story?
It's a alternative worlds sci-fi story.
So, like, what ifs?
Not quite. Wait. One moment, please. Dispatches from Elsewhere. And it's going to be on AMC.
Okay. Give me the elevator pitch.
It's a group of ordinary people who stumble onto a puzzle hiding just behind the veil of everyday life. They will come to find that mystery winds far deeper than they ever imagined. Stars Jason Segel, Richard E. Grant, Sally Field.
Sally Field?
Sally Field. Yes.
As his mother?
Doesn't say.
How did she get roped into that?
I don't know.
Nothing else to do?
Nope.
Ever since they recast her in the Amazing Spider-Man films.
Yep. Oh, also Andre 3000 from Outcast.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, you know, it's going to be good. It's a 10-hour series.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
They realize that these four people realize there's something missing in their lives, but they can't figure out what that is.
Okay. But it's not like a dystopian future. It's not like it's...
Do not know.
Robots are trying to take over the world, or...
Doesn't say.
Replicants are back, and... Bless you.
Thank you.
They still could have done that Dracula thing that they did in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Right?
That's all I'm saying. That was a good, viable thing that they could have rolled out, but they didn't. Instead, they made Get Him to the Greek.
Yes. That was a great movie.
Was it?
No. I have no idea. All I remember is the scene of Russell Brand in the little bitty car driving down the hallway, and he's apparently naked.
Okay.
And he just talks to somebody and says, I'm a motorist.
What happened to Russell Brand?
Katy Perry.
Oh.
She destroyed him.
Well, with that body, I'm not surprised. Yeah, he was like really hot for like a half minute and yep. then disappeared. Like, did you see his version of Arthur?
No. No? Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was Arthur.
Oh.
I bet that was Arthur.
Was it? Okay. Because I know that there was an episode, there was a, not an episode, but there was a section where him and, I forget the actor's name, Chubby.
Jonah Hill.
No, that was getting to the Greek. It's a chubby Latino guy. Real ugly dude.
Gabriel Iglesias? No. Louis Guzman?
Yes, him.
Okay.
Where they were dressed as Batman and Robin. And they were driving around the Batmobile.
Uh-huh.
That was in Arthur.
Apparently he's making documentaries now.
Oh. Okay. Well, good for him.
Although that was back in 2012.
Oh. That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. Yes, Looper has an entire list about why we don't hear much about Russell Brand anymore. Get Him to the Greek didn't do that well. He made fun of the Jonas Brothers at the 2008 MTV Video Awards. His Arthur remake flopped.
Oh, he was in Hop, too.
He was in Hop. Hop?
Hop, yeah.
His talk show was canceled. His sitcom wasn't picked up. His divorce from Katy Perry. But he's writing quite a few books, including My Bookie Wook and My Bookie Wook 2. This time it's personal.
Is that like a tell-all biography?
I don't know. It says it's a comic memoir.
Oh.
And for the kids, he wrote The Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, interesting.
So there you go. Why you don't hear from Russell Brand.
Poor Russell.
Poor guy.
I guess that's like, so one of those reasons was that he made fun of the Jonas Brothers. However, you look at somebody like Ricky Gervais, who ripped apart every Hollywood star to their face in the Golden right. Globes.
Well, apparently he went too far with a lot of people.
Who?
Russell Brand at this MTV Video Music Awards.
Okay.
He mocked the Jonas Brothers, ridiculing their public pledges to abstain from sex. And then Jordan Sparks, who is also a purity ring wearer, said it's not bad to wear a purity ring because not every guy and girl wants to be a slut, okay?
They don't? I guess I'm hanging out with the right people.
Yeah.
I think the Arthur remake was a mistake to begin with.
I think any remake is a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, that was very specifically Dudley Moore.
Right, exactly.
Don't, you know, that's like Will Smith trying to be Robin Williams.
Right, exactly.
It's like, don't even try it. Do not do a remake of Casablanca with Corbin Burnson and think it's a great idea.
Did you see the Aladdin remake?
No, it's wrapped in cellophane over there.
Because there's a YouTube channel called CinemaSins
uh-huh.
that counts problems in the movies.
Yeah.
And they did Aladdin a couple of weeks ago. And one of the gripes was like, look, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you change what the genie says or what the genie does,
mm-hmm.
he's never going to beat Robin Williams.
Right.
Like, that is a... They might as well have just taken the genie out altogether and figured out a different way for Aladdin to become a prince.
Okay.
Because it's fucking awful.
Right.
Like, Will Smith's trying to do his thing, but, like, one of the... You know how in the animated film, it opens with who you perceive to be the genie...
Right.
...selling... things about, oh, let me tell you this story. Well, there is a scene like that in the new one, but they're on a boat, and it's the genie singing something, but he's kind of like speak singing it.
Okay.
And they were like, this is fucking awful. Like, this is the worst thing we've seen, like, Disney even ever try to produce.
Yeah.
And they're greenlighting the sequel. Because it made a shitload of money.
Of course.
People wanted to see the disaster. You know, I haven't heard really anything good about any of those live action movies.
Lion King was a disaster.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, they tried to make the animals so real that they weren't expressive.
Yep.
And then it just looked bad. You know, they say that Emma Watson was miscast as Belle. Like, there's always a problem with something in the live action ones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just go back to animated. I mean, they made Frozen.
They did.
What was the other one they made? Was it the one with the animals? I know that makes
the one with the animals. Zootopia.
Zootopia was a pretty decent hit. Mm-hmm. Like, they can do their own stuff.
Right.
Let the animators do something instead of rehashing.
But it's a cash grab.
Don't they have enough money?
Apparently not.
They have the biggest movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, with the Fox acquisition, they have like the top 10 movies ever.
Right.
Like, be happy what you have.
No, they're never going to be.
Iger stepping down, maybe they can, like, you know, curtail this.
Maybe take all that money and do something good.
Like what?
Wipe out homelessness? Cancer research?
You mean like Jeff Bezos? Just did a bunch of money to homeless people, and then people were like, well, just pay your taxes.
Right, exactly. Well, that's just it, you know?
Has Disney ever been accused of, like not paying tax?
I don't think so.
No?
It's too wholesome of a company.
Yeah, you know there's some dark shit going on back.
Oh, of course. Of course. Because Walt's not really dead. He's like Captain Pike.
Bob Iger has a set of human furniture.
Yes. Actually, Walt is stuffed and now a coffee table.
You gotta freeze him in carbonite.
Yes. Yeah.
Just a floating Walt head. Oh, good times.
Mm-hmm.
I have no desire to see those live-action ones, and whenever somebody goes to see them, they're all like, yeah, they're terrible. I heard that, so Disney remade Lady and the Tramp
mm-hmm.
for Disney Plus.
Right.
Took out the Siamese cats.
Yep. Now they're street cats.
Now they're street cats, urbanized street cats. And it's like, okay, you want the cash grab. Well, is that even the cash grab if it's on Disney Plus? Is that a draw?
Well, it's
anybody getting it to watch the live-action
movie? No, but I bet it's going to be merchandise the hell out of it.
Okay.
New stuffed animals and T-shirts. And
they've already done the whole thing of, like, every dog that was in this was a rescue dog.
Right.
So.
Yes.
Okay. And is the 101 Dalmatians with Emma Stone, is that going straight to Disney Plus?
I don't know.
Because now there's that weird thing of, like, Disney used to do direct-to-DVDs.
Now it's direct-to-Disney Plus?
Now it's going to be direct-to-Disney Plus.
It would be much cheaper. You don't have to produce the DVDs at, you know, 30 cents a hit.
Yeah. And then they sit on the shelves. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that the old 101 Dalmatians with Glenn Close, the first one was really good.
Okay. Didn't they make a couple of those?
They did a sequel with Gerard Depardieu.
With Glenn Close?
With Glenn Close.
She did both of them?
Yep.
Okay. All right, good on her.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see what gets released in the theaters and what they now put out on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm still waiting for some old Wonderful World of Disney stuff to come to Disney Plus.
Okay.
Like, there was a TV pilot with George Carlin. Has, I want to say he was the ghost of a detective. It was called Just in Case. I'd like to see that again. There was a remake of The Barefoot Executive with Jeremy London.
Okay.
Mr. Boogity, of course. So now I have to wait for the Bride of Boogity.
It's weird the way that they're releasing this stuff. Because, yeah, like, the kid wanted to watch Sky High.
Okay.
And it's listed on Disney Plus, but when you go to the page, it's, like, coming in December.
Oh.
So it's a really weird, like, they rolled it out in a couple of, I guess you're rolling them out in a couple of different
phases. Yeah.
I guess just to, like, not clog everything all at once.
But. Okay. But if you want to watch Boy Meets World,
yeah,
that's the place to go. They're even showing the Jonas TV show.
Boy Meets World and Relive My First Crush.
Aw, Topanga?
Topanga.
Who came up with that name?
I don't know.
Why would you name your kid Topanga?
I don't know. Daniel Fishel was a piece of ass. So.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of the documentaries?
I haven't, and I haven't watched Jeff Goldblum yet.
Yeah.
But they have Million Dollar Duck with Sandy Duncan.
Ooh.
And the Ugly Dachshund, and the Cat from Outer Space.
So what are the extras for that?
For what?
For the
Million Dollar Duck?
Is it just the trailer?
It's a clip.
Oh, it's a clip?
Yeah.
Because they were getting touted, like one of the things that they're trying to make them stand apart is like, everything's going to have extras.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get that on Netflix. But, like, they're putting on deleted scenes for Endgame that isn't on the Blu-rays and shit. So, like, they were like, you can't see this anywhere else. And it's like, well, if you're going to do that, then, like, you need to come up with shit for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want an hour and a half making of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks. Or, like...
I honestly would.
Yeah, no, like there would be some really cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, if they could do that.
Well, there's a Sherman Brothers short, there's a recording session, and then there's a promo clip.
Okay.
But I think there's more on the DVD.
There's definitely stuff like that that I've never seen, so...
Yeah.
You know, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot on there. Good Christ.
Yeah.
And you say there's nothing to watch.
I know.
You'd rather watch a crappy superhero TV show.
I'm trying to support the genre. Because if I don't watch, apparently nobody else does.
Some of those visual effects in Supergirl are cringy, though.
Yes.
Like, talk about TV budget. There's probably one dude sitting in a room that's their visual effects crew.
You have, tied to a chair in Korea.
You have 37 shots for this week. Get them done. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, literally, there was a clip I watched where Supergirl goes diving in front of somebody, and she literally freezes and then gets, like, moved over really quick.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my god, her hair, like, literally stops. And you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, I could watch the Leslie Nielsen Mr. Magoo.
There you go.
I hope that's got extras. Oh, it's got extras.
Just a
clip. Yeah, just a clip.
That's going to be their cop-out.
Yeah.
Everything's got a clip.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I just got to, you know, make time to watch it.
That's right.
Home Alone. White Fang.
The original Tron.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Act.
Sister Act.
I didn't realize that was
Hollywood, a touchstone. Hollywood. One of the two. Does it say in a little blurb?
Probably not.
No.
Like, people don't really think about the adult side of, like, the Disney stuff. Which were Touchstone and Hollywood Pictures.
Right.
Because they don't exist anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
What a shame. All right.
You can watch a Donald Duck clip called... Wait, is it?
Do they have the
Corn
one
chips.
With Donald the Nazi?
No.
Fuck.
They do not. Which is sad, because I really love that cartoon.
But is that an anti-Nazi
yes.
thing? Okay. It was like, look at the bumbling Nazis or whatever.
Exactly.
So, they could have put that on there.
They could have. Der Führer's Face. That's what it was called.
But it literally had Donald dressed as a Nazi.
Yes. Oh, it's on YouTube.
The whole thing?
Yep.
Oh, with an introduction.
It's an introduction by Leonard Maltin.
Or anywhere in the world. Caricatures and jokes, not always in the best of taste, rise to the forefront because it's our way of relieving aggression. So it was in World War II. Some people feared Adolf Hitler. Others mocked him. The Disney staff came up with the idea for a cartoon to be titled Donald Duck in Nazi Land, giving the all-American duck a nightmare that he was living in a country run by Nazis. The title changed when a song written for the cartoon by Oliver Wallace became a runaway hit and a now classic recording by Spike Jonze. It then became essential to change the name of the cartoon to Der Führer's Face. It's easy to see why the film was so popular. It's very, very funny, reducing the serious tenets of Hitler's Nazism to slapstick absurdities. And it gave audiences a chance to think, as Donald does, about the freedoms they might have taken for granted.
Am I going to be a citizen of the United States of America?
Der Führer's Face, directed by Jack Kenny, won the Academy Award as Best Animated Short Subject of 1943.
And then
I play. I know they're going to play it. Oh. Yes.
Okay, so you can see it on YouTube.
Yes.
Are you pure Superman? Yeah, we use the Superman. Super, super, Superman. Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could? Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave, but if we could, we bring the world to order.
Is this the song?
Yes.
The runaway hit?
Yes.
Really? Salute.
Yep. You would never see a Disney cartoon with so many swastikas in your life.
No, that's amazing.
Yep.
Donald just gets stabbed out of bed. Dressed as a Nazi.
It is definitely worth checking out.
It is an amazing piece of history.
It is. Right up there with Song of the South.
Was that tea?
That was coffee.
Oh, that was coffee?
Well, it was a coffee tin.
Sawing his bread
because it's so stale. And then later he's working in a munitions factory. I could make this my ringtone. Screwing the caps on.
Wow.
And it just gets worse from there.
Because that's the way a line of things work.
Yep. I don't know why the mustache is on top of his beak.
Now there's ammunition and the swastikas on it and ugly faces.
Yes.
Man, cartoon telling was a lot different
Oh, definitely.
And then he wakes up and it was all a bad dream.
It's all a bad dream.
Oh.
Pharaoh's face.
Nice. Oh,
there you go. There you go.
You got anything else for this week?
No, I'm tapped out.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Gobble, gobble.